Welcome to the Luxentis Show, where I share tips on how to create and lead successful people-centric organizations. Hi, I'm Jocelyn Moriners, CEO of Luxentis, a leadership and team training company offering at-your-pace online courses and implementation-style workshops. Make sure to check out our website for available courses and download the top 5 reasons businesses struggle to attract and retain top talent and what to do about it. If you're a solopreneur who has been juggling all the tasks in your business, you may be feeling the pressure of getting it all done. And not just getting it all done, but getting it all done with quality. You may have considered hiring some support, but you're unsure of what you could be delegating or even whether you should be delegating. So what could solopreneurs and micro business entrepreneurs do to determine what and whether they should be delegating? Well, the very first thing to look at, it's what can you afford? Have a good look at your budget, look at your revenue, look at your expenses, and have a good look at those expenses. Review your subscriptions. Have you been spending money here on subscriptions that you haven't used in months? And I know I frequently hear, oh yeah, but I might use it. Well, how about we deal with it when it comes? Because if you haven't used it for months and months, chances are you don't need it. Unless it's something different and you needed to pay per month, but you bought it annually, paid per month, and that's a whole other issue. But consider the expenses and consider whether you still need them. Something might have changed in the business itself and you no longer need this. You've replaced it with something else, or a new tool has come out that is more affordable and that does more. Who knows? So have a look at that to see if you can't free up a little bit of money in there. And ask yourself before determining how much you're going to allocate to this new person, what can your budget really sustain? Are you going to look at maybe having somebody do a certain number of hours per month? Are you going to look at maybe hiring someone just from sporadic work? Will you be looking more at freelancer? At an agency, at getting someone because you prefer to have consistency. So you'd like to have that touch point, regular touch point. So that's going to impact how the money is spent and therefore have an impact on your budget. And so think about how you may want to obtain that help and can your budget sustain that? Make sure that the reason you're getting the help is because it will advance your business. And I know at times we get tired and we're like, oh, I just need help. I just want somebody else to do it. And sometimes it's for tasks that we don't particularly care for, or sometimes it's just tasks that we're particularly good at. Like we might be okay and we understand and we can get the job done. But we can get the job done in, let's say, 8 hours versus a pro can get it done in an hour. So consider whether there would be that savings in time. Now, just because there is that savings in time doesn't mean that you necessarily can afford it, depending on what your budget looks like. But do consider that trade that, okay, if I had an extra, to keep my example, if I had an extra 7 hours to invest in advancing my business, I could get, let's say, one or two more clients because I would be able to pitch to that many more people. So it's how would you be spending that time if you do make that time exchange? Something to consider as well when you're looking at budget is internships. And I'm not saying take advantage of people and, hey, I'm going to do an internship because I don't have to pay them. That's not what I'm saying. If you can pay someone, pay them. But I'm also saying that there are a lot of individuals out there who just would love to gain practical experience. And if you're able to offer something in the sense of mentorship, explaining something, assuming they do a great job, a testimonial or a recommendation, or if there is some way to pay them back for that work, even if it's not actual money, then that might be really great and might be a win-win situation. Of course, if you do have the funds, pay someone. But if you really don't, consider internships. There are, again, a lot of people who would love a chance at gaining some real-world experience like that. And also, there may be individuals who would like to change careers, or individuals who would like to try out a new career, or they're studying something and they'd love to see how it is in reality. And maybe there are people in your network who are in that situation, or maybe people in your network, no, people in their network who is in that situation. So that could be great. Along similar lines, you could find someone, another micro business, another solopreneur, who would be open to exchanging services. Maybe they complement what you offer and they could really use what you have, and you could really use what they have. And maybe you help each other that way and you help each other advance your own businesses that way. So there are a lot of options, even when budgets are tight. But again, I know I think this is the third time I'm going to say it, but if you can pay someone, pay them. And something just to come back to that internship, should it pay off in the sense of the business grows, you get more clients, et cetera, then maybe that could be part of the agreement, assuming the person is doing an amazing job, that then you hire them and you do start paying them something. So that could work out that way as well. Just be always very, very transparent, and just so everybody knows what they can expect, especially some people just can't afford to do unpaid internships simply because they absolutely need the revenue. So make sure that you don't put any kind of, I'm going to say, judgmental pressure if they say they can't afford to take an unpaid internship. So be very, very clear from the very beginning. So another thing to consider in this journey to getting help is, what kind of help do you actually need? So fine, you know how much money you have, how much you can afford, or what kind of options you're looking at in terms of budget. What kind of help do you actually need? So have a look at all the tasks that you're accomplishing. Yes, look at the ones that you don't like and you'd love somebody else to do because you find them draining. But also look at the ones, like I mentioned, that maybe it would take you longer to accomplish. And consider potentially having someone else do those to free you up. But again, the freeing up, make sure that it's freeing up for the purpose of advancing your business. Because if it's freeing up so that you can do something else that is not advancing the business, then I would venture it's not a great investment. And it may just become an expense. Yes, of course, there's always needing time to rest and preventing burnout. That's a whole other situation. I'm just speaking generally here. Look at the tasks you're accomplishing and determine what you would like to see delegated. And see if they can be grouped. So kind of make this list and see if they fit into categories. A lot of individuals think that, oh, well, I'm just going to find a VA. That's great. But if you have a virtual assistant, doesn't mean they can do everything. They may be this amazing, amazing person who can do everything and can learn to do everything. I've certainly, in my experience, have found some pretty impressive ones who learn quickly and can grow into all kinds of experts. And so it's really wonderful when you have that. But I think it's a little unfair to expect that everybody will be that kind of person and will have the even desire and interest to become a jack and jill of all trades. So make sure that if you can group them, then you may want to consider working with more than one person. even if it's freelancers. If you do end up needing a little bit of everything, you might also want to consider an agency. There are agencies that offer many services, and that could be a way of going to one place, but getting access to an array of experts. Now, if you are going to be delegating certain tasks that maybe you realize you need someone who knows something that you don't, I highly recommend at least learning the basics. I really would hesitate to fully delegate something that I have no understanding of, because if there are last minute changes, then what do I do? And it's again, not becoming an expert at the thing, not trying to learn all the things. It's just knowing enough to be able to deal with emergencies, unless you have someone who is on retainer and is there to deal with the emergencies. That's possible as well. But even at that, I really like to understand at least the basics to even be able to make appropriate decisions for my business. Because if I don't understand, then I'm fully reliant on this person to make the right strategic decisions. Even, I'm going to take an example, even if it's like an accountant. Well, if I don't understand how to read my P&L, my statement of cash flows, my balance sheet, then I'm essentially reliant on them to tell me if there's a problem in my business. Well, I don't want that. I want to be able to understand. So, for example, my accountant is great. I love my accountant. And I've had a few accountants for a number of reasons, but my accountants have always been the type of individuals who explain and answer all my questions. So they, whenever I have anything, they take the time to take me through what does it mean and what does it say. And in time, over the years, I've become very comfortable with how to read those. And now my questions are actually fairly complex, and I can look at them and read a lot of information from the financials because over time I've built this knowledge. And I've built this knowledge not from reading a book on understanding of financials, although that's good too, but I've done it from actually reading my financials, and here are the questions that I have based on this, and I don't understand this thing, and why is that thing? And so in doing that, it takes longer for sure, but it's knowledge that sticks, and you just build it over time. But when you're just starting off, at least learn the basics, and maybe that would be a great time to read that book. The other thing to be considering, so you have your budget, now you have your tasks, then you really need to ask yourself, should it be delegated? Because in my opinion, some things should not be delegated. And I'm going to say, especially if it has direct impact on revenue and level of service to clients, especially as a solopreneur or micro business owner. At some point, as you become larger and larger, there is no choice. You can't be there when you have hundreds and thousands of clients. At the same time, you will have trained individuals, and it will have grown hopefully over time with appropriate training. But when you're very, very small, I would not delegate things that have direct impact on revenue and level of service to clients. The other thing about wondering about delegating, some things if you delegate them, will actually create more work for you due to the level of review necessary. And that's something that you want to balance out. It's like, what will it involve for me to delegate this? And I want to be clear here. We don't want to fall into the trap of, oh, well, there's no point in me delegating it because it's much faster if I do it myself. Well, okay, fine. At some point, you're just going to do everything yourself. And you're only one person and you can't do everything. So you're going to have to delegate something. But maybe you start with the ones that the delegation effort itself isn't going to become a burden. And the level of review isn't going to become a burden. And what are some factors that could impact that? Well, to start with, the budget is going to impact who you can hire. And the person you can hire may not be at the level that you need to be able to fully delegate everything. So maybe parts of it can be delegated, which would advance the task while not adding burden to the review process. And so then that would be worthwhile and that would be a good task to delegate. But like I said, you don't want to necessarily just delegate the whole thing. You may want to delegate part of it because otherwise the delegation itself is going to become a burden. In some instances, it may just be a question of training. And most of the time, in my experience anyway, most of the time, when you get that additional help, there is I'm going to call it an onboarding period, an adjustment period, a learning to collaborate period. And it may just be that training, that learning to work together period that becomes heavier. That is almost a guarantee that it's going to happen, not always, but most of the time, again, in my experience, when I first obtained that additional help, it was a burden. But if it is appropriate, it will lessen as the person gets more training, as the person becomes more comfortable, understands better how to work together. And after that, it's going to be a breeze. So when it works. And so you want to guard against the situations where that is not possible to happen because the level of review will always remain the same. And then those tasks just become burdensome and they're not great to delegate. But when you figure, okay, we just need to learn to get to work together, then it's going to become easier, then those are great to delegate. And one of the things that you could try is write out the steps. Frequently, people call it like the standard operating procedures, SOPs. And so what exactly is involved in accomplishing this particular thing? And is it easy to explain? Is it easy to follow? Is it something that once you've trained someone on it, okay, they'll get it and then they can move on with it? Or is it like, no, it's always going to require a deep dive? And maybe it'll still make sense that they do their part, you do the review part, and then it gets completed. But have a look, and if it's easy to follow, easy to explain, then it's highly likely that you'll be able to train someone really well. Again, depending on what the budget is and whether you can actually afford to hire someone that is at the level required, but they may grow into it. And then that would be extremely helpful. In all of this, as usual, don't be afraid to experiment. Try things out. In my opinion, the best way to approach this is by trying short engagements. I am actually quite big on that. Most vendors, agencies understand that, and they are usually more than happy to accommodate and at least get a chance to prove themselves. Just be very transparent from the first interaction so that everyone's on the same page and the expectations are clear. And to give it a real shot, I recommend a 3-month engagement, even if it's part-time. So this gives enough time to get the collaboration bugs out of the way and actually get something moving forward, but not so much to become an incredible burden should the relationship not work out. So give it a shot. See what happens. I hope this episode helped generate ideas and potential solutions. If you know someone who could use this message today, please make sure to share it with them. And if you're feeling particularly generous, why not rate and review wherever applicable? I'd really appreciate that. So thank you for listening, and let's all continue working on creating and leading successful people-centric organizations.